As a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. As a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm. We've been sitting around the lunch table today, having a discussion about life and sex and love and experiences that are most meaningful in a person's life. And as we talked, something became more and more apparent, because it was not the matter of sex, it was not the matter of love, it was not the matter of relationship, it was the matter of freedom. This seemed to be the most important thing in any relationship, in any marriage, in any sexual relationship or non-sexual relationship that a person might have. It's the freedom. The freedom that your other person, what do you say, your other person, your wife, your husband, your lover, your related friend, what do you call these people?
Boyfriend, girlfriend,
that sort of thing, is the ability to give them freedom. And the freedom does not mean that they can go out and have other relationships. The freedom is for them to go out and do whatever is natural for them to do, which they would have done if they hadn't been married, if they hadn't been had a specific relationship which would tie them to another person. The best relationship is a free relationship. And it's not a matter of indiscreet relationship, indiscriminate relationship. It's a matter of where are you? Now, when I was a youngster, and many people laugh at me when I tell them the story, they say, ha, 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 ha. And it doesn't bother me at all. When I was a youngster, a teenager, I was extremely brilliant and also talented. I loved to polka. I loved to waltz. I loved to square dance. I loved to sing. I loved to hike. I loved to camp. I loved to work on my studies in school, even though some of them were exceedingly challenging to me. And those many areas of my life were areas where I would enjoy to have someone share with me on those experiences. Now, to dance by yourself is not too much fun, you know. So I had a girlfriend who loved to polka, and we would polka at her house whenever I would go over there. She had her record player down in the basement, and she loved to polka too, and we just had a great time together. And I had another girlfriend who just loved to waltz. And I loved the waltz, and I loved the movement and the flow and the swing and the ride of it, and so did she. And we would dance together the waltz, and she would have this, and we'd be in her living room, you know. And she had this parquet floor in her living room, a beautiful wooden floor, which was ideal for it, and her mother kept it in a position so that when we danced on it, it was just great. And sometimes her mother and father would even come in and sit and watch us dance and say, wow, you kids are good, you know. It's a joy to watch you dance. And it was. And then we'd go to the Saturday night sock hops, and this is where you have your socks on in the gymnasium so that you don't hurt the gymnasium floor, the basketball floor, you know, or the gym floor. So you wear your socks when you're dancing, your shoes sock, without your shoes. And so we would dance. We'd dance all the current dances and all the current things. Well, I had an interest in physics, and in the higher astrophysics and things like that were just coming out. And it was beyond my comprehension, because no books were written on it yet and nothing was out on it. But one of my girlfriends, she, Carol Kuhn, she, she got the name pops right up there. She had a father who was an astrophysicist. And he worked at the major company downtown, I forget the name of it right at the moment, but at one of the major aircraft companies. And this was, of course, during the war. And so he would come home in the evening, and I would be invited over to their house one evening a week, and we would sit around their table and discuss astrophysics. And right from, you know, the horse's mouth. And he would say it in such simple terms, in such simple language, so that we teenagers and, you know, neophytes in the area would enjoy it. And then I had another girlfriend who I never mentioned too much about, but this was Nancy, Nisha Patterson, and she and I were the primary members of the poetry club, the Parnassus Poetry Club in our high school. And we would write poetry, and she was very good. I worked at it, but she was just very good. It just flowed off her lips just like, you know, you wouldn't believe. And I picked up a few pointers from her, and our teacher was very good at sharing it. And we had maybe about 20 kids in the class. And we had a really nice, we put out a little booklet once a year, or once every half a year, every semester, on the poetry that we had written. And usually I had two or three poems in the booklet. I don't know where they are now, but I had two or three poems in the booklet because it was good enough to get in. Or maybe they just needed a filler. But anyhow, I got in there, and it was great. Now, there were others, and I loved to go out into the woods and wander around and study the trees and study the different brands of oak and birch and pine and all the different trees, because I loved forestry. And so this girl was a very tomboyish girl, and she loved being in the woods, and she loved learning about the trees too. And so we would do it together. Well, sometimes they'd overlap, but I had to make my decision of which overlapping I was interested in. But every one of them was a great girl, and I was probably a little bit, what would you say, undeveloped during my teenage years. I had no sexual desires. I had too many other things that were too much fun. And I know some of my boyfriends in school had sexual desires, and at least they told us all about them, you know. Yeah, and whether they did or not, that's another story. But their life was always chasing girls, chasing girls, chasing girls. And I say, oh, what are you going to do when you catch them, you know? And I said, you know, you guys are silly. I catch them. And they and I have a good time together, and they don't own me, they don't possess me. We enjoy each other's company, and I don't know who they see when they're not seeing me, and I don't care. All I know is when they see me, they give me their 100% attention, their 100% love. And at the astrophysicist's house, that was Carol Cunha, at her father's house, at their house, beautiful house in a very luxurious area of the city, you know. And we would go into that house and have dinner. Well, I would eat with the family. I would eat with their family, and they would have help that was serving the meal and so forth, and felt very, you know, richy-richy. We had a maid occasionally, but not a full-time one like they did. And it was really quite special. And Carol always respected me. In fact, now, many years later, over 50 years later, she had written in one of the books, in one of the annuals, you know, that we put out on the reunion type of things, you know, that she had never met a boy as important in her life as I was. And she said my name, too, you know, in this thing. And another girl, Barbara Benson, she said the same thing, but she was the one that I was polka withing, you know, and dancing with. And she it first started out with her in a strange way, because we liked to dance, and she knew it, and I knew it. And I went to her house. She said, we're having a party at my house. But I didn't know that it was a party between she and I. I expected a whole lot of other kids to be there, and it was just she and I. And she had punch down there in the basin. She had everything. And her mother never came down once, you know. Never wondered what we were doing down there. Of course, we were making a lot of noise dancing and enjoying the music. But there was a total trust. And my mother, too, had a total trust of me in whatever I was doing. And that was quite an honor. And I never wanted to destroy that honor. And Mother never had to argue with me. She'd just say, are you sure that's what you want to do? You know, I had to make up my own mind. And I had to be true to myself. You know, you could be against somebody else, but you cannot be against yourself. Because if you're against yourself, you got to live with yourself every day. Well, I think that as a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm. And every one of these, oh, there's another girl. We were in the Civil Air Patrol together. And she was a great big girl. She was something, I don't remember her name anymore, but she was a super girl, brilliant, and she was a great pilot. And we flew together in the Civil Air Patrol during our teenage years in school. And it was a great experience. And total flying, total, you know, attention to that. And we just worked together. We studied together. We did the work that was required, you know, from Wisconsin Aviation Association and the FAA. And I forgot about her, but she was a great girl. And she could march real good. Oh, because in the Civil Air Patrol, you had to march. And you had to, you know, take your rifle and do the rifle things with it, you know. It was a total preparation for the military. But didn't bother us. We just had fun. And she was the sergeant, and I forget what I was. I was something too, but nothing important. And she was ordering us around. And she loved it, but did it with great dignity and with great respect for the Civil Air Patrol, which is the greatest, wonderful, you know, Civil Aviation Authority, you know, which was the greatest and the wonderfulest thing. And it was for us kids. I went to the Civil Air Patrol the field up in Madison, where we were going to have training for one weekend. And we went up on a Friday night. And that night we slept there in the barracks, you know, like the guys were sleeping in barracks. We were given a barracks to sleep in. I got bit by a spider. Some sort of spider, a big brown spider, which was quite mean. And I didn't know it. The next morning I was out. And they took me to the hospital and had me in the hospital the whole weekend. And came time to go home. I was ready to come out of the hospital. But I missed the whole event. I missed the whole exercise of being up at this air base up in Madison, which was some 80 miles from our home, you know. But what an experience. And you see, that's my memory. Now, their memory may be other things, but she was there too. And I didn't even get to be with her. But I think that if we can know that we are geniuses, and that if whatever we do with enthusiasm and joy and love, that it's great. And I had no qualms, no interest even in what these girls were doing. And another one was, she lived on the north end of town, and we went to the movie on the west end of town, and I lived on the east end of town. And we'd go to the movies. She liked to go to movies, and I liked to go to movies occasionally. So on a Friday night, we'd go to a movie. And we'd have the movie, and after the movie, I'd see her home. And when I saw her home, I was out in the boonies where she lived, you know, and the buses stopped running. You know, at a certain time at night, mm-hmm. buses stopped running. And I was there to walk all the way home, which was a number of miles. And I remember so well on the cold nights when your feet step on the frozen snow, you know, crunch, 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 all the way home, crunch, crunch, crunch. And I wasn't cold. I wasn't unhappy. The movie was interesting. And it was a nice evening with her. She was a very pleasant girl. And I went home. But, you know, girls don't realize what boys put up with playing the role of the machos, you know, that you got to see them home, you know, and you got to take care of them. If I'd send her home and I'd go home, it'd been a whole lot easier, but I'd had a lot more sleep that night. But I felt good. I had done the proper male thing, and I was happy with having done it. And my mother had raised us three boys with the two girls, and she said, one thing you will always remember is to respect womanhood. Yeah. Respect mm-hmm. women, whether they are little women or big women. You respect them, and you never do anything to them that you wouldn't like to have someone else do to your sister. You know? And you always respect them. And, you know, so we were built in with our reservation to be perfect and wonderful and fantastic and glorious, but still with enthusiasm. I tell you, it's great. Other memories come up, you know, of things where you have not done things you shouldn't do and stuff like that, but that's another story. That's the kind you'd all like to hear, I know. But I have given you the story of, as a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm, and I do. But you see, sometimes when you say there are things you didn't do, it makes you sound like a goody-goody. And I don't choose to sound like a goody-goody. I may have been that way, but I don't choose to sound that way. And so I don't tell the tales of where I resisted temptation, where I resisted the desires to do different things that the other guys were doing and other people were doing. But obviously it was all there, and I had the choice of participating or not. And my purpose, because my mother was a very loving, sensitive, caring lady, not demanding, but very sensitive and loving and caring, she would just plant seeds in us to be honorable, to be worthwhile, to be trustworthy, to be, well, like good Boy Scouts, you know. And our family came out pretty nicely, pretty nicely. So I'm very happy with it. As a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm. And you are a genius too. You express everything you do with enthusiasm. We had a discussion here at the table, and one of the discussions was about the lady friend of one of our friends. And we all had opinions about this lady friend, who was a rather outstanding young lady. But when one of our friends began to look at this lady and do an analysis of her appearance, it sounded like she was, you know, God herself. You know? She was a magnificent soul, which had escaped our attention, because we did look at the appearances for the moment. And because we looked at the appearance, we never saw the beautiful burning fire within the center of that diamond. And now we have, now we are, now we will, and it'll be a delight to see what comes of this new awareness within us. And I thank you. And I thank all of you for your kind indulgence listening to these words. But as a genius, I express everything I do with enthusiasm. Whoa! Isn't life great? Yeah. I love you, I love you, I love you! Wow, I tell you.